All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. So glad to be back here today on the hot mic. On the hot mic, the ladies are calling it. It's a hot mic. It's a very hot mic. It's a big mic. It's a wonderful mic. I've got the worst Trump impression, but I've still got his kind of tone in my head because I did something really fun yesterday about Trump, and I'll get to that a little bit later on. But first, right off the bat, at the very start of the show, I do have to remind those who might not know, either first-time listeners or people who just have not gotten around to it yet, but my stand-up comedy tour for 2025, the Prince of Germany stand-up comedy tour, is officially out, and the tickets are available, and they are selling. So if you think that you might be, let me take a little gander at our list here. If you think that you might be in Frankfurt, Cologne, Hamburg, Vienna, Innsbruck, Munich, Zurich, and also Berlin, but it's not listed yet, between the dates of October 12th and October 27th, then you should get your tickets now. The ticket link through my booking agency, Karsten Janke, is in the show notes of this very episode that you're listening to right now. So don't wait. Don't put it off. Last year, the tour sold out pretty quickly. We have a much bigger venues and a lot more cities this time around. So there's more opportunities. But there still is a chance that things will sell out in the next couple of months. So please don't wait. It could be, like an anniversary gift. If you and your partner are fans of my videos, or if you've seen the stand-up show before and you had a good time. If you have seen last year's tour, this is a completely new hour, a completely new stand-up hour. So it's all going to be a brand new show. So don't wait. Go get your tickets right now. They're in the bio. Now, if you have already gotten your tickets, or you say, I don't like stand-up comedy, I don't think I'm going to go, another great way to support this show, since we don't have ad sponsors or anything like that, is also in the show notes, I sell my own original hot sauce. It's called Ausfahrt zur Hölle, and it's something I'm very proud of. I work together with the biggest European hot sauce supplier called Heat Supply. They work directly with Heatonist. If you're a fan of the show Hot Ones, that is basically their hot sauce, maker, distributor. It's a huge company, and Heat Supply is Europe's basically branch of that. And I love these guys. They're very, very nice. They love hot sauce. They're very passionate about it. They've dedicated their lives to it, and we came together over our mutual just addiction and obsession for hot sauce and created my very own Jordan Prince hot sauce. They do ship internationally, and the link for that is in the bio as well. Even if you don't really like hot sauce, it's a very cool looking bottle designed by our good friend of the show and of all of my poster work, Leomar Estevez. Shout out to Leo. And the artwork is cool. It can preserve in the jar for a very, very, very long time. So even if you don't eat hot sauce, it's something cool to put on your shelf. Okay, so with all of that out of the way, concert tickets, hot sauce, that would be a great way to support the show. Let's get into it. I did take a week off last week, and it might have been one of those things that was perhaps unintentional. Maybe it got around to, Tuesday or Wednesday of the week, and I went, oopsie daisy. But, I did get away last week for a few days, went to a beautiful part of the Allgäu, the southern region of Germany down by the Alps, and stayed in a lovely hotel. I do have to give a shout out to Jenny. Jenny is a lovely employee of said hotel, and she apparently is part of a much larger Greek community that work at this hotel and live in this region, which is very interesting to me. I'm so surprised sometimes when I find that there's a community from some unexpected region or country or different part of the world living in a very, very unusual place. Like the fact that someone from, you know, some Greek, you know, from Athens, like a beautiful, humid, warm, sunny city with the most amazing food and beaches all around, now lives in a cold, mountainous area with lots of snow. But, you know, sometimes people just get pushed and float around into different things. They take chances. And now that they have, I think it all kind of boils down to better job security, easier living situation. So they, I could be wrong. I don't know. I think job security and the better pay, I think that does play a role. And so she has now pulled a lot of her friends and family over to that region. A lot of them work at the hotel together, which is very cool. I remember, I think it was last year, maybe the year before. I think it was last year. I stayed exactly at the same hotel, but with other people. It was a totally different reason. This visit last week was by choice because I was like, oh, it was a great experience. But a couple years ago, I went there and had never been there before. And Jenny, just working in the hallways of the hotel, was just, I don't know. It was the first time I ever got the feeling that someone actually thought of me as like a star or something crazy like that. It was the most charming, and heartwarming experience for someone to be that excited about meeting me, and it showed me that maybe what I'm doing is it's working, that I'm, you know, like I enjoy making these videos and doing this comedy, and there's people out there who really, really enjoy it. And that means everything to me because that was something I always wanted to pursue with being, you know, someone who makes their living based off their own creativity. And now it seems to be in a sense working. So I'm very happy for that. And I came back around this year to the hotel and met up with Jenny again, got her contact. Very lovely. She gives off these like fun older aunt vibes, or like, you know, a cousin. I think she said she's 55, but she doesn't look it. She looks a lot younger, a lot more vibrant and healthy. I need to get her her beauty tips. But thanks to Jenny for a lovely visit. She gifted me a bottle of very nice gin. Very kind of you. And also perked up the room with a bottle of champagne. Jenny, are you trying to seduce me? You're trying to get me drunk, Jenny? You're trying to have a little one-on-one time with old Tipsy Jordan here? Well, it's working. It's working. Here's my key card. Anyway, kidding. But Jenny, you're great, and hope to see you at one of the shows on the tour. Let me know. Other than that, the ankle. So for those who might not know, I broke my ankle about 4.5 weeks ago. I guess it's been that long now. And it's a lot better. It's a slow heal. What I don't like about it is that it's very unpredictable when the pain will strike. You know, I can't instinctively go, well, I know if I lean on it this way, if I fold it that way, if I stretch this way, it's going to hurt. It just kind of randomly shocks me. And then I have to sit down and like restrap my bandage or just rest it. And I really don't like the unpredictability of that. But, you know, it is what it is. But it is a lot better now. I've been not using the crutches, despite plenty of heated warnings that I should continue to use them. But if it's not hurting me, I went to the orthopedic doctor, and he said, if it's not hurting you, then you don't have to use it all the time if the foot isn't hurting. But then sometimes I'm walking without it and it does hurt, and then I still don't grab a crutch and it's dumb. So I should definitely do that. But it is healing, and I think the biggest issue for me now is that it just itches like dog shit. It itches so much sometimes. Like, I will literally take it off, peel the sock off that is now, like, suctioned to my skin. It feels like I'm peeling off, like a scab or something when I get that sock off. And then shower, and then just scratch. And there's this weird thing that happens where I scratch, like, right on the broken ankle part, like right on the bruised like foot knuckle. And it's so weird. I'll scratch it because it itches so much from this, like the strap and the sock and everything being so tight all day. And it kind of like puts this, it like kind of makes my, one of my toes wiggle. It's like I'm scratching a nerve inside of my foot that's making like my bones twitch. But it, oh man, does it feel good? My God. Oh, and those, the worst thing, though, is because the strap goes around the entire foot, I will occasionally get those bottom of the foot itches, like, you know, the dead center sole of your foot on the bottom. That is the worst, the most horrible place for a scratch. It seems like it never goes away. I'll wake up in the night from it, have to unstrap the cast thing, the brace. And I will literally sit up in my seat and scratch until I tell myself I have to try and stop now and put like rubbing alcohol on this because I need to like just get rid of this itch without scratching. Otherwise, I'm gonna like scratch a wound on the bottom of my foot. Like I scratch, it doesn't go away. It's unbelievable. This is a lot of TMI for right at the top of the show. And if you're having a good time, make sure to run on down to the show notes and grab tickets for that 2025 Prince of Comedy, Prince of Germany stand-up comedy tour. Mobat, our beloved co-creator and, you know, occasionally returning guest on the show, popped on over to Istanbul very randomly. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. He was supposed to come over to my house to play video games. And it was within like 30 minutes of when he was supposed to arrive. He was like, man, I'm so sorry. I have to cancel. I've just been called by my job that I'm going to go to Istanbul in like 2 days. And I have so much stuff to prepare. And I was like, oh my God, of course, don't worry. And then he was gone. He was, in Turkey for, I guess about a week or so. Or a little more than a week, I feel like. And it was so nice of him to send photos. It looks like such a cool, interesting place, amazing food. Really cool that he gets to do these kind of spontaneous, wild jobs for his, or these trips for his job. I feel like he's really in the thick of like being a young, driven journalist now, and it's so cool to see that. And he came back to Germany over the weekend, last weekend, and I was also in his hometown, and as I was limping with my ankle into a local grocery store to get some stuff for a party that I was going to, I ran into Mobat's mom, Tina. Lovely to see her. I felt bad at first because I didn't remember, like I didn't recognize her face. And I have this bad habit now of when someone says Jordan and I don't recognize them, that I think they might know me from Instagram. So I just stayed silent and was like, yeah? She's like, oh, you don't remember me. That's okay. And I was like, oh, no. And she told me it was Mo's mom, and we talked about him, of course. And always lovely to see her. As far as I remember, at least when Mo's on the show, she's a dedicated listener. So if she does happen to be listening to this one, hi. And it was lovely to see you. And Mo now it's all come full circle. He will be returning to my humble abode this evening, if all things go to plan, unless he's being sent off to Ukraine or being sent to Washington or something really randomly. He should be coming in tonight to show me his brand new guitar and play some video games and catch up about his crazy trip to Istanbul. So speaking of like journalism and stuff going on in the world, Donald Trump. No, this is not a political podcast, but I did participate in something that's pretty funny yesterday. Sorry, I'm getting a little stuffy nose. something that happened yesterday that I'll talk about for a minute here. I don't want to spoil anything because I want you to see it when it's done. But, there's this news organization. Let me try and break it down a little bit better than how I'm doing it now. In my show notes, there's a link to basically my website. It's this Linktree site that has all these things that I've been a part of, press about the, it's like links to all the, to my tickets. There's, you know, links to stuff of mine you can watch. And then there's like press, like a big newspaper article about me and this video documentary that's, I think is like 10 or 12 minutes long. And it came out a while now, a little over a year ago. I think it came out January or February 2024, and it's like a TV documentary about my first stand-up hour and about, you know, the videos getting some traction here in Munich. And the documentary series is called Capriccio, and the news organization, like for the Americans out there, like the organization like, you know, CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever, the company here is called ARD. So ARD has a show called Capriccio. They did a piece on me, and this is how I met the director of that documentary, and we kind of became friends. And skip to a couple of days ago, and I mean really like so short notice, I got a text from that director, Max, a very nice guy, and he was like, "Hey, ARD is doing a series for YouTube. That's a very cool premise. Basically, like it's a documentary. It's true information. It's nonfiction, but it's done with reenactments. So it has actors, and it has people. You know, it has like they're kind of reshooting versions of what happened, and then talking over it and showing like real images too, which is cool." And the premise is basically they discuss an unexpected event in history. It's sort of like the butterfly effect, but in documentary form. It's like this one thing happened that is kind of random, and that leads to this other thing happening that you'd never expect to be connected. And the episode that we did, is very clever, and there's a lot of articles about this connection, and I never knew about it, which is very fascinating. But it's that the 2007 writers' strike in Hollywood, which a lot of people might remember, I certainly do. Famously, it was I think 100 days, or maybe a little more, of the writers of Hollywood striking for better pay, and the same recently how they had to strike again. Because it's they're a very underappreciated part of the business, which is crazy because it's the most important part. But they stroked for something like 100 days, and it really affected all of the shows that people love. And at the time, 2007 was banging with TV shows. Like, you know, it affected the very first season of Breaking Bad. It affected Scrubs. It affected The Office. It affected season 4 of Lost. Like, all this stuff was on at the time. So, and it affected, you know, late night. Like, Conan O'Brien famously paid his staff out of pocket and kept his show on the air, but without writers, so that he could support the strike, but also not, you know, keep his staff from like getting money to feed their families. And I remember there's this famous segment Conan did, and I'll get back to the strike in a second, but he just like spun his wedding ring on his desk every night for weeks, trying to break the record for the longest spinning wedding ring, and he did it. He broke the record, at least at the time. I think he spun it for like 50 seconds or something crazy. And he, you know, he's so good at pulling an audience. He's so good at being entertaining that it was really like adrenaline pumping stuff. And I remember that so vividly. Anyway, that writer's strike led to the very first election of Donald Trump. And I don't want to spoil how. I mean, there's articles about it. It's a proven thing that's very interesting to see how these things lined up. But it's a really cool story. And I got a text from that director a few days ago that was like, hey, we're shooting this ARD doc for YouTube, and we'd love for you to play Donald Trump. They had like a goofy wig and like a cheap little MAGA hat and a suit. And I said, sure. And then we found the right time frame, and it ended up being yesterday afternoon. And I went, and you know, just a real skeleton crew, just a couple of camera guys and a couple of lights. And we just we shot it, and it's really goofy. It's really goofy, but very funny. And of course, as soon as that comes out, I'll put a link for that in the show notes as well, so you guys can just immediately click it when it's available. And as soon as they send me promo material, any images I'm allowed to use or any clips I'm allowed to use, I will of course be posting those to my social medias, Instagram and TikTok and so on. So, interesting thing I saw on my analytics today. I was going through my social media analytics because I have to send that information to my agency so they can send it to companies, and when they're pitching me to make a video for their product. And I saw that on every single platform, the average time of day that the followers are engaging with the app has gone significantly later over the last few months. You know, if I see that my audience is most of the time on Instagram, let's say at like 6 o'clock, then, you know, I'll try and time my posts to be available to them and hitting their algorithm like within the time that they would already be on the app the most. It's how everyone who makes a business out of that has to kind of look at that stuff. And so today I was like, well, let me check the time frames and see if the ones I'm used to are still the same. None of them were. They had all shot up. They had, like, if Instagram was like 6 p.m., now it's like 10 p.m. TikTok used to be 6 or 7 o'clock, now it's like 11 p.m. YouTube went from like 4 or 5 p.m. or something like that to almost midnight. Like, it's so crazy. Now everyone's like laying up in bed like doom scrolling. I guess it makes sense. You know, a lot of people in their 20s, college kids, they're going to be laying up in bed. People who don't have to get up like extremely early in the morning for anything, they might lay up in bed later than they probably should, you know. I had like the best, well, I woke up a lot for scratching my foot, and I do tend to sweat a bit at night, but I still woke up from a pretty good night's sleep, like a pretty deep. I don't know why. I would tell myself, well, it's just, I haven't had any alcohol in a few days, and maybe that's just connected to that. Could be. When I saw Mo Bat running in Oberstdorf a few days ago, he looked so trim, like so fit. And I was like, damn, dude, he's out here running full gear, like with the spandex shirt with the company logos on it and the reflective sunglasses. And yeah, does he look like a dweeb? Yeah, of course he does. Does he look like a tool? Yeah, Mo, you did. But you also looked German, and you know what? You looked fit. I think the dude's getting a six pack. He's pretty trim. And I am doing the opposite. So I would really, after seeing that, and after having such a good sleep, maybe it's just the clarity of actually having had slept. I really think I think announcing it almost seems like a curse sometimes, but I do think I really just need to take a break from alcohol. It's not like I'm like abusing myself, but it's, you know, it's regular enough where like I bet if I just cut that out, I would instinctively already lose a good bit of weight. Cause it's just so bad for you. It's just poison, and it just like I see images of myself because, you know, I post my face every single day. I see photos and videos of myself from is as little as like a year and some change ago. And man, I thought I was fat then. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy to see myself back then and go, oh my God, I chunked up, dude. Like, I've got a real double chin now. And I'm very self-conscious about my face. I mean, I post it every day. And when I look back on some of the first videos I did when this Instagram stuff started popping off, I looked like pretty thin. I mean, my body's always been big. That's always kind of been fine. That's always how it is. But I see pictures of myself like from 2020, you know, I mean, that's 5 years ago, to be fair to myself. But, you know, 2022, 2023, you know, or let's be honest. So 2023-ish is when the videos really popped off. I had been making like the German language ones since the pandemic. But 2023 is when I made the Johannes character and shit just blew up. And I remember looking at those very first ones and dude, my face was so skinny. And, you know, I've never been like chiseled or something, but like I had a lot of definition in my face. And now I saw a video I made a few days ago and I'm like, oh my God, who's that grease pig slopping his way through the trough of mayonnaise and beer every day? It's like, Jesus Christ, dude, I got to cut this shit out. And now the foot is healing. So I've got to, the thing is, I've got special events coming up. I've got to do what Moritz Binder did when he was like, oh shit, my movie's, you know, getting nominated for like some of the biggest awards ever. I'm going to have to go to all these red carpets. And he Moritz is not a big guy, but he like stepped up and was like, yo, I'm going to be like at the Oscars. I'm going to be at the Golden Globes. I'm going to be at Critics' Choice Awards. We're going to go to all this stuff. And he slimmed up, dude. Moritz looks amazing. As he always does. But he really like stepped up and was like, I'm going to look back on my red carpet photos and be happy, you know? And I think it's kind of like how people treat wedding photos or like vacation pics or something. Like I got to see it in my head now. Like I know for sure that I'm going to be part of, a premiere of a show there's this show I've talked about that I worked on where I played not the main role, but like I was the main guest on a whole episode of this TV show. And since my friend is the writer and I'm going to be promoting it on my social media and stuff, I had a meeting with her recently and she talked about like, yeah, I would love for you to at the premiere, be there on the red carpet. You can even, you know, take over the TV shows like Instagram, like an IG live takeover thing and like talk to the cast and the crew and, you know, and it's like, okay, well, I need to slim up for that if I'm going to get like a new suit for the film fest this year, or if I'm going to just try and look nice in the suits that I own, because boy, oh boy, have I chunked up a lot since I bought my last, like I have these clothes I really love and I have chunked up to the point where I can barely wear them. And I hate that because those clothes were expensive. Anyway, so there's enough about that. Last things here. I know it's not the world's longest return episode, but there's a lot of stuff to do, and I got to shoot this video later, and I got to write off this book, because the book is almost done, ladies and gentlemen. The book is almost there. We are about to officially publicly announce it. The covers are done. I have like one full chapter and like a half of another one to knock out. And then Ify will get all the translations in, and then we'll start getting our notes done and you know, the corrections and whatever, moving things around, and then that bad boy will be like on its way to being sent off and done and finished. But let me. Oh, sorry, I just saw a message and I rubbed my head of distress. I wanted to say also, because I've mentioned it before. But this Thursday is the official day now. This Thursday morning, oh, the day that this comes out, right? So maybe by the time you're hearing this, I've already done it. But Thursday morning, I have my ADHD test. How perfectly coincidental that I could not stay on track for that statement because I was reading a text while trying to say that. Let me just close that tab so I can just lock in here. I will be going to my official like first ADHD consultation. I think I know what the answer is going to be. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have one consultation and then leave with a bottle of Adderalls. That's not how how that works here. It's just going to be the first consultation. Probably I'll have to come back again and do like EEG. They do a lot of like a really official tests here for that stuff. But the first meeting is to, you know, just talk to me, and I don't have any old like report cards or grades or anything from my last from my high school and, you know, elementary school. Like my mom and we never kept these report cards like as a kid, and there were never really notes from the teachers being like, I think he's having issues focusing. But I was a class clown. I was a cut up, and I did have trouble focusing. But we'll talk about all that. I'll let you guys know how that goes. And let's hope for the best that we get that settled. And even if they say no, you're right on the line of what we think you could have it, but you're functioning without it, so we're not going to diagnose you. Well, then at least it could, you know, they're either going to say yes or no. And I think they will say yes. But even if they say no, then at least I have an answer. And it'll be something distinctive that I can be like, okay, now I know, and we can move on. But I have a feeling they'll say yes, and then it'll be a nice, just fresh step towards something new, like fixing one of these problems that I've seemingly always had and learned to live with without being conscious of it. And now that I'm in therapy, I'm kind of rethinking about it all the time. I think it's going to be really beneficial. Because boy, oh boy, do I have trouble with, and the thing is too, ADHD isn't even just about focusing. There's so many symptoms that are associated with it. And so many of them are things that I suffer from. Let me do a little list here. Hold on. ADHD symptoms. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Oh boy. Oh boy. I think we got some good stuff here. So yeah, you know, being easily distracted, sure. Finding it hard to listen to what people are saying or to follow instructions. Yeah. Well, I've also, you know what I heard also is like this thing about when you are talking to someone, people with ADHD tend to look down or around because it helps them focus on what they're hearing more. Or like, they look down in a way because it helps them focus on what they're saying. And then when they are listening to the person's response, it's like dead eye contact. And I find myself, ever since I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that's what I do all the time. Like when I talk, I look around the room always. I look at the floor. I used to think it made me look insecure. But now I realize like I can't look someone in their eyes while trying to keep track of a sentence. But if they're talking, I can look right at them. I have to like really get in there. Let's see here. I don't forget brushing teeth or putting on socks. That's not that bad. Impulsivity. Boy, oh boy. Woo. Sometimes you can hear it on, if you listen to like 50 episodes of this show, you can hear the difference in like hyperactivity and impulsivity. Like sometimes like this episode, I have nice high energy. Though again, I did say I did sleep very well. And sometimes I'm really like yawning and fidgeting and tapping their hands and feet. Whoa, boy, guys, you know, I get made fun of. You heard it on the episode with Ben, and I think Mort's episode too. I'm not sure. But I have my little fidget toy, my little fidget gun. Talking noisily. Oh, yeah. Feeling restless or getting up and moving around when they're supposed to sit still. Yeah. And that's also why I think video games help me too, because they're really mindful. You're really in the moment and you can talk while doing them. So you really have like fulfilled all this deficit. I don't know. Finding it hard to wait their turn or interrupting conversations. That can be the case. But sometimes I interrupt out of excitement, not out of like, because it has to be my turn. There's so many here. Anyway, I am really, really interested in seeing what happens with this. And, talking therapies such as cognitive behavioral therapy, that's the one I'm in, might be recommended to help someone with ADHD with problem solving and expressing their feelings. Oh, ha, ha. And then session two of my cognitive behavioral therapy, she was like, have you ever been diagnosed before? But yeah, we'll find that out. So wish me luck on finishing up this book, focusing on it in time to get it done. I'll keep you updated about the ADHD tests. That'll be something fun. We can all follow along together. I'll post about the Trump video, and let you guys know when that's out, because it should be pretty funny. And let's see. Yeah, I got to slim up for the red carpets. Yeah. Okay. I'll wrap. Right now I'm just reading through my notes backwards. It's probably not so fun to listen to. So let me just get this out of the way. Again, I'll sandwich our show today with this special note. The 2025 Prince of Germany stand-up comedy tour. The tickets are out. It's official. The show notes have the official ticket link in the bio. If you see something like Eventim or Song Ticket or whatever, don't go there. If this link takes you to an external site, that's okay. But just so you know that you're not getting scammed, go through the official, this link in the bio to get your official tickets. So you know that you're going through the proper source, that you're not being overcharged. And again, we are going to be in Berlin, but I can't announce it yet. Frankfurt, Cologne, Hamburg, Vienna, Innsbruck, Munich, and Zurich. Munich is a double show, an early show and a late show on the same day, October 25th. So I think the early one's just about gone. I don't know if people who have kids, well, actually, it's not a kid-friendly show, so don't bring your kids. But if you have a babysitter who can only help earlier in the day, you have a chance to see an early show and still, you know, go home and, like, have dinner with your kids or something after. And then the late show is at 9:30.
For the rough and rowdy adults, baby.
Yeah, it's going to be such a significant difference in how drunk I'll be between the early show and the late show. But anyway, Jokes. Not really. The tour tickets are out. If you're not into that, or you just want to find a different way to support me directly, go buy that hot sauce. Everything's in the show notes. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And, you know, the best way to help this show for free, what would just, you know, it's not necessary, but it's welcomed, is just subscribing to the show. Giving it a rating or a review or a simple comment, sharing it to a friend. Honestly, it really helps the algorithm push this show to new listeners. We can grow this artsy fartsy family together and have a lot more fun. It gives me more of an opportunity to, if the show continues to grow, I have more chance to pitch it to bigger guests to have on, and then we can do more video podcasts and more events and potentially get sponsors. And with sponsors, then we can do even crazier stuff. We can have whole like streams and get you guys to vote on what you'd like us to do, if it's like trying, you know, crazy German foods together and giving like rating things, or just, you know, we can pull together to tag someone really great you might want to have back on the show or to have for the first time. There's a lot of things we can kind of do together here. But I need your help. So if you enjoy the show, please rate, review, subscribe. If you haven't done it already, it's a great time to do it, and it's free to do so. So thank you so much for listening. I love you guys very much, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.